we are weighing ourselves as a metric, not to get emotionally attached to the number. It's a pound up, pay no attention, stay focused on the doing, the steps, the training, all these things, stay focused on that, all will be good.
Meet your host, Andy Naylor. Andy is a men's physique transformation expert, competitive physical champion, and a multi-six-figure business owner who has helped thousands of busy, high-achieving men get into the best shape of their lives and reconnect with their inner alpha. On this show, Andy is going to share with you his playbook on feeling healthy again, avoiding the common pitfalls successful men fall into, dropping 20 to 30 pounds of fat, and building a physique you can finally be proud of. And the transformations aren't just physical either. You're going to learn how meeting your personal goals will help support your professional achievements, giving you that true alpha mentality. Let's go.
Welcome back to the Optimal Alpha Podcast. Welcome along. My name is Andy Naylor. I am CEO and founder of Naylor Body Design and host of your Optimal Alpha Podcast. And today we're going back into a Q&A from our clients. We did one maybe 3, 4, 5 weeks ago, I think, something like that. It was received very well. So my team have instructed me that I must do another one. And I am very compliant. So we have another 10 questions, real world questions that our clients have put forward in their check-ins. So they're real world questions that have already been dealt with and answered. So I am here to sort of come and give what perspective I can. I have not looked at these questions. I do not know what I'm going to get. So let's just dive straight in and see what happens. So number one, I am nearly the lightest weight I've been in 10 years. When do I stop losing weight and start building muscle instead? So the goal here is not when stop losing weight. The goal is when lean enough to start building muscle. That's the metric. Losing or gaining weight is losing or gaining weight. But technically, if we're on a journey to do what most men want to do, which is be leaner and have more muscle, I call it the holy grail for men. Like you ask pretty much any man who's into bettering his physical appearance, and it's going to be, I want to lose fat, build muscle. Now, those things don't really happen very well at the same time. Is it possible? Yes, of course. Is it likely? No, not really. There's some circumstances when it can be done, but let me just be clear. For most people, most people have got enough fat to lose that should be 80 to 90% of people's first target. Get leaner. Most people are walking around just a little bit chubby-wubby. Let's be honest, and I'm not being rude to anybody there, but that's just the reality. We all know that. So if building muscle is the goal, then what we need to do is create the longest runway that we can. Now, what I mean by runway, I mean time, essentially. Dropping body fat is relatively quick when compared to building muscle. Building muscle takes a heck of a lot longer. So we know that to go off and build muscle, we need to be in a caloric surplus, i.e. eat more calories than we need per day to move around and do everything we need to do, so that there is extra calories, extra energy there to actually build new lean tissue, right? New lean muscle. Now, as we're in a surplus, and we're training really hard and sleeping really well and keeping our stress down, we're going to be adding muscle, but alas, we're going to be adding fat at the same time to a degree. There's kind of not really much way around that unless you're in the genetic 1%, in which case I already hate you. Now, the goal then is, well, the end point of let's just call it a bulk. We know what we're talking about, adding muscle phase. The end point of that is when you are adding the same amount of muscle as you are fat. It's now a negative end game, and very soon you're going to be adding actually more fat than muscle. That's it. Bulk over. You're now fat. Go back in the other direction. So why would we not then start from the leanest point possible? Technically, the leanest point possible. In other words, we've pulled the catapult back as far as we can to give ourselves the longest runway of time until fat gain catches back up with muscle gain, and that's end of the bulk. So simply put, if this particular person, I don't know who these people are. I've no idea. I've specifically didn't want to be given the names of these individuals. So if someone's at the lightest weight they've been in 10 years, okay, that's great. Massive pat on the back. Awesome. Like that is awesome. but you could still be 20% body fat, 15% body fat. It could still be technically too high before wanting to go off and start building muscle, because the fat's going to come back very, very quickly. So really, I mean, look, most men, in my opinion, should be under 15% at all times. Once you go over 50%, you're just not really paying attention to what you're doing, and you're a little overweight, and it's not healthy long term. And quite frankly, everybody I feel should be able to get under 15% and very easily hang out there. There's not really much excuse for being past that, really. Now, the goal then would be getting down to, I mean, look, most people, if they're really focused and they really want to do well, getting down to 10% is well within everybody's reach. You would look absolutely bloody awesome. And also you'd be lean enough to then start going back and slowly building up calories and starting to build muscle. Sadly, you will start to see all that definition and lines slowly disappear, but you're going to be adding muscle. There will come a point then where you'll be adding as much muscle as fat, or as much fat as muscle, and that's the end. So anyway, you don't stop losing weight. You just keep going to the point where you are technically lean enough. So that's, you know, if really 10, 12%, somewhere in there. If this is a male, if this is a female, add 5% to that. So when you'll say 10, 12% for a male, then you're probably lean enough, probably, to then really start slowly adding calories back in and getting jacked. On to the next question. Number two, I've got dumbbells, an adjustable bench, and an adjustable bench at home. If I upgrade, what should I get next? That's easy. Some sort of cable stack. Straight away. In COVID, I hate saying that word. In COVID, when we were all shut up at home, the first thing I went out and bought was an adjustable cable stack. It was something that I could, I had an attachment at the top, like a lat pull down attachment, an attachment at sort of like chest height, and then one at the floor. Think of the amount of options with just a few attachments that thing gives me. So many. And it was just one. It wasn't like a cable crossover. It was just a single stack. That's all I could get my hands on. And I was very happy to have got that. It got me through the pandemic. It is the most adaptable piece of equipment that you can probably get your hands on that way beats dumbbells, way beats barbells. I would immediately suggest go and find yourself some sort of, maybe adjustable, so you can maybe, you know, slide the where the cable comes out so it can be over head height, or no, down at feet height. If you can find something that where you can adjust that stack up, you know, the cable exit point off the stack up and down, and then you can maybe have a few different attachments, my goodness, you've now got access to so many movements. You are going to be good to go. That's my answer for that. On to the next question. Number three, is it bad to drink non-alcoholic versions of alcoholic drinks like alcohol-free beer? This is a healthier alternative, surely? Question mark. Is it bad? Okay, let's quantify bad. What does bad mean? Is it bad because is it calories? Is it bad because it feels like cheating? Is it bad? Why bad? So first of all, quantify bad. Now, then this question needs context, right? So if somebody is drinking a lot of actual alcohol per week, well, one, there's going to be calories attached to that. Two, there's probably going to be poor decision-making post-drinking the alcohol. That seems to be one of the issues most people face. Is it's not just technically the alcohol and what it does to the body, although I'll cover that in a second. It's actually also the fact that people get a little bit tipsy. They kind of think to themselves, wow, you know, I deserve a night off. And then in comes all the food. And also while they're drinking, they're not hydrating. So they wake up the next day. So it's not just the bout of drinking alcohol that causes the problem. It's the influx that normally comes from the calories, the horrifically disrupted sleep after the night, on the night of the drinking, and then normally poor food, poor hydration, and it takes a couple of days to catch back up. One bout of drinking is going to mess up 3, 4, 5 days of your week. No question about that. Also, technically, when it comes down to it, you know, your liver is one of the only two places that you can actually oxidize fat in your body, liver and your skeletal muscle. Well, if you're heavily drinking, there's a fair shout to say that, you know, your liver's going to be preoccupied with trying to metabolize that alcohol, and fat burning is then something that's put to the side. You know, your liver will do the things that keep you alive probably over, you know, really oxidizing body fat as a priority. So therefore, as soon as you put something like alcohol, which I know it goes through a number of stage processes as it goes through the liver, and I'm sure whatever, I forget the name, to be honest with you, it doesn't come to my mind right now, but alcohol gets turned into something else And that, even that's more poisonous to us. Someone is shouting through the screen right now the name of what it gets turned into, but I can't remember. So our liver has a hell of a job trying to metabolize this alcohol. So first of all, if we're then going to take on board something that's non-alcoholic, okay, well, there's an immediate benefit in everything I've just said. One, probably not disrupted sleep. Two, probably not making stupid food decisions. So all of that is a benefit. So if someone is drinking too much alcohol, is a non-alcoholic version better? Well, yeah. Now, caveats. Depends on what it is. Is the alcohol now being replaced with quite a high sugar content? Quite often. So like if you go and ever look at something like a mocktail, normally speaking, the alcohol is taken out and there's other things put in it. And quite often, they're normally sweeter. And it can be things like sugar syrup, which is just like an absolute calorie bomb, basically, of pretty much pure sugar. So I think there's a caveat. It depends what it is. And I think the other thing is digestion. I would have a consideration as to whether or not the alternative is better for digestion. Quite frankly, alcohol is one of those funny things that if you're used to drinking it, you're used to drinking it. If you're used to not, you're not. Most people are better off just not drinking alcohol. Now, that's not that easy. There are many of our clients have business lunches, seminars, these sorts of things where alcohol is consumed. And I'm not going to say it's the norm, but yeah, it kind of is. And it's difficult to navigate around. So in those circumstances, to not feel like sometimes the odd one out, which for some people, they don't care about being the odd one out, makes no difference. And all the power to those people. They don't care. They literally don't care. You know, I'm going to order a club soda or a Diet Coke or something. And they don't care. Some people find that more difficult. And that's also okay. No judgment. Well, then therefore ordering something non-alcoholic and then saying, well, you know, but I'm driving or something like that. It removes a little bit of social anxiety for some people in certain big situations. But it also means that they're still kind of part of the gang to a degree. And then there's some concerns in that mentality. But is it still better? I'd say overall, yes. Number four, I'm starting to get tired towards the end of my gym sessions. Do I need to eat more calories? And in brackets, I've got client is dieting and losing at a healthy rate. So the answer is no. If the person here is dieting and losing fat at a healthy rate, getting tired, we would now look to combat in other ways. The first things that come to my mind, hydration. With electrolytes, so proper hydration, so sodium intake, stress levels, quality of sleep, duration of sleep, and then also then training volume. Those are the main things. Now, I get tired at the end of every gym session. I never walk out of a gym session feeling the same way as I walked in. I would be kind of concerned if that were the case. So sometimes there's also suck it up, princess, a little bit. Depends how tired you're getting, right? There's a bit of a depend in there. But for most people, it's like, just get on with it. I walk out of most gym sessions, and then within 2 hours, I'm probably napping. I have to have a nap. I do get up at 4:30 in the morning, and I'm straight to the gym, and then I work flat out until about 9:10 at night. So you can allow me a nap. You don't need to have any go at me for that. However, recouping sleep and recouping energy through actual rest and relaxation is incredibly important. So here, adding calories back in isn't going to be the answer if dropping body weight continues to be the goal. Fix energy levels elsewhere. So hydration, electrolytes, sodium, stress, sleep, maybe even rest times between some exercises. Who knows? Maybe you're going a bit too fast. Maybe, I don't know. That, you know. Also breathing. Breathing while you're training is something that comes to mind. A lot of people tend to hold their breath. And I think over the course of an hour-long session, that's going to you're going to be a little bit oxygen deprived eventually. I think there could be something in that, just good quality breathing. And then overall training volume. So it's possible to bring training volume down as fatigue goes up. Something to consider. Number five, we're already halfway. I've hit a weight loss plateau. Should I do more sets in the gym this week? In brackets, client has lost 3 pounds in the last week. Okay, so, well, okay, there's just no weight loss plateau then. So technically, if the client, whoever this person is, has lost 3 pounds in the last week, that's a hefty loss in a week. It's hefty. It's a big loss. Obviously, this is dependent on the size of the individual. You know, if I'm, you know, I walk around at, I don't know, 12% body fat, even when I'm not thinking about it, I think I might be about 11 or 10 right now. I don't know. If I suddenly lost 3 pounds in a week, that's quite a lot. That's quite a percentage of my overall body weight. You know, I weigh 250 £203. If someone weighs £270, you know, 3 pounds here or there is not a big deal. It's not a big percentage of body weight. Just crack on. So, well, first of all, here, there isn't a weight loss plateau, if I have my information correct. Should I do more sets in the gym? No. Well, first of all, that would also, if there was a weight loss plateau, doing more sets in the gym wouldn't have been the first thing we'd have picked anyway. It would have been increased deficit. Now, doing more sets, does it increase the deficit? Well, yes, a little bit. Is it the most effective way? Absolutely not. It's just going to crush recoverable ability. So we would just look to pull food down ever so slightly, or if that's not possible, up just general movement, i.e. steps or cardio just slightly, or just a little bit of both. Okay, doing more sets is not would not necessarily be the answer here, but also technically if the client is losing 3 pounds a week, there's no plateau. Crack on. Alphas, I interrupt this show with a simple message. This show is here to benefit you and your progression to the best version of yourself, but not only just you. It's also here to benefit the people around you, your loved ones, your friends, other alphas in your vicinity. So why not do a really cool thing today? Something that I would thank you for, and maybe someone else would. Share this podcast with at least one other alpha out there who you know would benefit from it. Why not share the information, share the ability for someone else to grow? I'm sure they would thank you. I 100% would absolutely thank you. This podcast only grows by our listeners, our followers doing amazing things like giving us 5-star reviews, downloading podcasts, subscribing, and then of course sharing it with other people. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Share it with one person, and of course, drop us a 5-star review, download the podcast, and of course, subscribe. And now back to the show. Number 6, I've been on hold on maintenance since December and not really making any progress. Why? Context. After losing 50 plus pounds, this client hit a plateau badly in December. So 50 plus pounds is a lot, right? Well, crikey, well done. Hit a plateau badly in December, and the coach moved them to maintenance. That sounds wise to me. We've started to cut again 2 weeks ago, and weight is moving but slowly. So first of all, maintenance, diet break, kind of interchangeable in terms of caloric levels. So just to give this a bit of back context, if someone's lost 50 pounds, I don't know the rate at which they lost 50 pounds, but 50 pounds is still a heck of a lot. For anybody at any level, at any weight, starting weight, 50 pounds is a lot. There comes a point where it's not wise just to keep pushing. And obviously this person's body has kind of said, right, enough's enough right now. We're just going to put the brakes on a little bit. And that could be that, you know, someone's emotionally tired from dieting, physiologically tired, like just tired, just need a bit of a break. So we go to the new maintenance level of calories for that particular person. And we would sit there until, you know, we're looking to wash off stress, wash off fatigue, basically start to pull the catapult back again to go again, if this person still wants to continue losing fat, which by the sounds of it, they do. So then we would go back into a cut. Now, well, first of all, things are moving, but slowly. So first of all, things are moving. They probably aren't going to move as quickly as they did the first time round. That's pretty normal. If things are still moving forward, things are still moving forward. Also, it can be difficult for individuals to have dieted very well, got very far, have a diet break, and then get back into diet mode mentality. Very difficult. It's the same as when someone might be doing very, very well, and then along comes a 2-week vacation, they go away, and it takes them weeks to get back on plan. Weeks. It's this disruption in habits, ultimately. And one of the things that we work on a heck of a lot here is habits, behaviors, and lifestyle, because those will be the things that get someone to their goal quicker and easier, but they'll also be the things that someone gets to rely upon. So if that individual hasn't maybe truly solidified those habits in stone, then they can be very hard to get back in place. Sometimes it's easier not having a break or not having a vacation or not having Christmas or Thanksgiving, but these things are going to happen. So leaning on really good habits and, you know, slowly moving back to the point of, you know, dieting, caloric deficit, you know, restriction, movement. So first of all, things are moving. So for this individual, I would be considering looking at building momentum. So going after the low hanging fruit of wins, getting water up, hitting step goal, calorie accountability, etc. Enjoying the process, setting another milestone further down the line to head towards, getting that milestone out visually on screensavers, you know, on phone backgrounds, things like that. So there is something visual to focus the mind on. Where the mind goes, the body follows. Okay, it's always been that way. It will always be that way. So I think that's my answer for that one. Number 7, single leg press, horizontal or 45 degree, which one is better? Neither. There is no better, no worse. That's like saying dumbbells or machines, which is better? Well, no, there is no better or worse. They're just different. They're just different. Quite often people look to polarize between, oh, you know, squats or leg press, which is better? Well, they're both completely different. They different for individuals. I've always, if I was doing a leg press, so the normally the thing about, so a 45 degree leg press, we should all be able to visualize in our mind, right? It, you know, the pad, we're sort of sitting in a seat with the plate to put our feet on sort of, well, yeah, you know, 45 degrees out in front of us. So we're sort of pushing up, not vertical, not horizontal, 45 degrees, load it up with plates. That's your standard leg press, okay? Very, very good. Can use multiple foot positions. Your feet move, your body stays still. Normally a horizontal one where you're sat more upright and the plate is more right out in front of you at the same height as your bum, wherever you're sitting. Normally for, not all the time, but normally for those, your feet stay still and your body moves, if you can picture one of those. They're normally pin loaded. You know, you have to sort of like squeeze yourself in at the bottom and then push yourself up and then your body's moving. So there is a difference. What I mean by that, it's like saying doing a pull-up or a pull or a lat pull-down. Technically the same movement, but they're going to feel very different. There's no way around that. It's the same as doing a dumbbell press or a press-up on the floor. Kind of the same movement, but they feel very different. One, your extremities, i.e. your hands or feet, move and your body stays in one place, or it's the other way around. Your body moves and your hands stay in the same place. So this is one of the first things I consider when I'm thinking horizontal 45 degree. I don't think there's a better or worse. One of the things that comes to mind is just the angles that it puts your body through. I'm very, certainly when it comes to everything training, particularly legs, I'm very focused on angles. What my ankle, as in angles, but then what my ankles have to do in terms of their flexion, knees, hips, and also how the pressure is being forced through my back. So I have a permanently herniated disc in my spine. So I'm very conscious of where the pressure is coming through my spine, hips, and how much pressure is on that particular area. So if I'm using a piece of leg equipment that I'm like, it's just driving through my spine and I can feel it, I'm like, it's probably not going to be something that I can progress very far. Probably a waste of my time. I'll go find something else. Those are the main things that come to my mind on that. There is no better or worse. You pick the one. What you could do is use them both. Have a run on the horizontal until you sort of reach a stopping point and then swap it back around for the 45 degree. Have a run on that till you reach a stopping point and swap back again. Use both. Number 8, 184 pounds. I protest that this is fat gain and not muscle. Lol. Context. Client is on a cut, has been losing 1 to 2 pounds every week. Well, total of 17 pounds. Well done. And this is the very first time he's experienced a 1 pound increase. Nutrition, steps, training on point. Okay, basically pay no attention to it. It's a 1 pound increase. It's if you were to look at my fat loss graph, that you know, when I tracked my weight, well, twice daily, actually, evening and morning, but let's just take the morning weight. So when I was prepping for my last show, I was 39, so 6 years ago, and I was, let's be honest, everything was on point. Nothing was missed, and I do mean nothing. And even if you were to look at my graph, it's not a straight line down. It jumps. It's jumping up and down with a trend of downwards. So my fat gain is trending downwards, but my weight is sort of bobbling up and down as it goes, which is completely normal. So, for example, the day after training legs like an absolute lunatic, my weight would be up. Why? Because of all the water, intercellular water retention in my legs. It's a lot of muscle. You know, your legs are a lot of muscle. It's half your body. So when you train your legs properly, you will get a lot of inflammation. Now, you'll know this happens because normally if you've got legs that are anywhere near lean and you have any kind of definition, you walk into doing leg day and your legs probably look good. By the time you finish the session, they should just look like two big fucking balloons. That's because they're filled up full of water, which is kind of normal. Well, that's going to weigh something. There's going to be retention there. It will go away naturally as the inflammation subsides, but you're going to get a massive spike in your weight. That could be, for me, that could be 2 to 3 pounds because I have half decent legs. It could be 2 to 3 pounds of weight up and down. I pay absolutely no attention to it because 2 days later, whew, it's washed off. So really, first of all, well done on the 17 pounds drop. That's amazing. Well done. A pound jump up isn't fat gain. And it isn't muscle gain either. It's just a bobble in weight that you've now got to not pay attention to. We are weighing ourselves as a metric, not to get emotionally attached to the number. So first of all, well done on your progress. Secondly, it's a pound up, pay no attention. Stay focused on the doing, the steps, the training, all these things. Stay focused on that. All will be good. Number nine. What can I swap table push-ups with? Context. Client works out at home, no equipment. Has limited wrist mobility, so this was a trial to see if they were okay. Okay, my first understanding. So the two reasons we might use a table as a push-up. One, it's inclined. Technically, it's slightly easier. It's a little bit, because the reason I say that is because if you think of it on the floor here, so the body is, it's like if you were stood and doing a press-up against the wall, most of your body weight is going for your feet. So that would be where we would start someone who maybe has an injury or is just not very good at this particular movement. We'd start them pressing up against the wall and we'd have them move their feet further and further away from the wall until it's not safe to do so. And then we'd move them down to putting their hands on something, you know, something like a table is a good example. And then they would move down to a floor press. The other reason we might use a table is someone could put their hands kind of around the edge. Right. So it's not, I know if you put your hands flat on the floor, your wrist is now 90 degrees to your forearm, which for some people can be very painful. So I'm thinking here, that's the reason we're doing table pushups. It could be because we're regressing how difficult the press up is because we can't do it on the floor, but it sounds because of the wrist issues, we're using it to try and alleviate the wrist issues. So what's the first thing that comes to mind? Well, buying a probably just, well, one way around it is to do fist push-ups. So like create a fist, put something like a mat cushioned underneath the fist. And now you've got a straight fist, a straight wrist even, going straight into the floor rather than a bent back wrist because hands are flat. So that's one way of overcoming it. Most people find those quite difficult. It's probably you're probably going to be limited in how many you can do just from that. The other thing is to probably invest in just a little piece of equipment. So you can get these press up, I don't know what they're called, but they're like little circular discs that have got a handle on. So now you can press on the handle, like you can grip the handle and obviously do your press there while keeping, again, basically a dead straight wrist. There, that's the first thing that comes to mind. The second thing is, well, fixing the wrist mobility. So what's causing the wrist mobility issue? Is it tightness? Is it tightness coming from the upper arm, coming through the elbow and causing tightness at the wrist? Most people technically should be able to put their hands flat on the floor and do a press up. Now, I don't know if there's injury there or previous problems, I don't know, but technically most people should be able to do that. So then the next thing is, okay, go off and maybe get professional help, whether that be work done on the forearm to release tendons, connective tissue, musculature to try and allow, because most people really certainly should have the range of motion in their wrist to be able to put hands flat on the floor. So those are the two things that come to mind for that one. And number 10, last one already, we've rattled through these. Most of time in hospitals, no regular or good sleep, not gym time and stressed. Don't know how many weeks will be this way. Just trying to focus on diet and steps, and I really can't really get gym time. What do I do? Also, someone's explaining the concern or the challenges they've got. Okay, context. Client is looking after a family member at the hospital and travel every single week for work. Okay, so sorry to hear that. And so, okay, so someone's limited with time, no good sleep, most of the time in hospitals, no gym time and stressed. Don't know how many weeks it will be this way. First of all, don't stress over the current situation. I don't know any more context of who the family member is, how close they are, how bad things are. So I don't know. So I need to be mindful of what I say here. So you've obviously got to be there for somebody else. So it's possible to say that right now, this is a chapter. And if this chapter means devoting yourself to this family member to make sure that you are there for them with a little bit of a sacrifice to your own personal goals, probably so be it. I'm pretty sure we could all understand that. It's like saying work-life balance. There is no such thing as work-life balance. There's chapters, there's phases. Sometimes there might be a balance and then sometimes there is no balance at all. And I can tell you this, as you know, being a business owner, there are times where there is no balance. It doesn't exist. If someone looked in on my life, there would be no balance at all. Now, for this particular person, we could look in on this person's life and go, well, there's no technical balance because of the circumstances that this person's in. So that's going to pass. And I hope that that is the situation. And that's going to pass. And then you'll be able to get back to regular routines. So right now, what would I be focusing on? Just optimizing the things you're already doing. You're already eating. You're still eating. Whoever this is, I don't know who this is. You're still eating. You're still having to drink water. You're still having to sleep. So I would focus on those. Make sure you drink enough water and it's very hydrating with electrolytes. Make sure you try and ring fence sleep as much as possible. Do the right things in the 3 hours before sleep to make sure that that is the most effective it can be. Okay. And then in terms of nutrition, try and pre-plan and prepare so that maybe while you're at hospital, you're not eating hospital food and you're just getting goodness knows what food in. Don't maybe necessarily worry too much about training, too much about, you know, those things. I'm sure those things will come back to you. I think that's the main thing. I don't want to say too much here because obviously I don't know the full circumstances, but this is the same as when someone says to us, oh, I wouldn't have the time to do all of this stuff. And I'm like, well, you are sleeping though, right? Well, yeah, okay. Well, and you are already probably having to deal with some degree of stress in your life. Yeah, okay, all right. And you are like eating food, aren't you? Yeah, like, well, we just optimize all of those things. So there's no more time taken to do any of those three areas. If we can come in and optimize just those three areas by 10, 15, 20%, we've changed someone's life. Now, whether someone can or can't put training time in, that's something we'll deal with down the road. But time is never the concern. That's a weird little construct that we create. It's a fucking excuse. Now, I'm certainly not saying for this question and example here that it's that, but just in general, when people say, oh, I don't have the time to do it, it's a fucking excuse. It's an absolute excuse. It's an utter excuse. You're still sleeping. You're still drinking water. Otherwise, you'd be dead. And you're still eating, right? So how about we just optimize the things you're already doing, which takes absolutely no more time, probably saves you time, makes you more effective and efficient, and maybe buys you back just a few little gym sessions in the week where you can get something done. Food for thought. But with this particular person, given the circumstances, focus on those things. Better sleep, better hydration, better food. Don't stress about the things you can't change right now. Hope that things pass in the best way possible and your family member recovers from whatever the problem might be. And therefore, things return back to a bit of normal. Progress is made. Don't stress about the things you can't change right now. It's a chapter. Ladies and gentlemen, there we go. So there's 10 questions, real world questions. I hope that's been insightful in some way. And maybe we'll have another one of these coming up soon. I really hope you're all good. But for me, for now, over and out.
Thanks so much for listening to today's show. We hope that you feel motivated to start making changes in your life so you can see those results that you've been wanting to achieve. Remember, you can do anything you set your mind to. If you love the show, please leave us a 5-star review and make sure you tell your friends. If you'd like to connect with Andy, you can find him on Instagram at Andy_Naylor_Pure_Elite_Pro. I'll leave a link in the show notes as well. Talk to you again soon.